HarperCollins presents The Hidden Palace by Dinah Jeffries, read by Stephanie Racine. For my family. To honour her brave people, I award the George Cross to the island fortress of Malta, to bear witness to a heroism and devotion that will long be famous in history. King George VI, 15th of April, 1942. The British Crown Colony of Malta was a military and naval fortress, and the only Allied base between Gibraltar and Alexandria, Egypt. Between June 1940 and October 1942, the Maltese islands endured over 3,000 air raids by Nazi Germany and Fascist Italy. Axis submarines also attacked British convoys, thereby denying food and other vital supplies to the islands. The Allied garrison and the people of Malta withstood these attempts to starve or bomb them into submission. Consequently, the Axis failed to strip the Allies of their key naval base in the Mediterranean. Despite the deprivation they suffered, the Maltese population courageously resisted the bombardment. For this reason, King George VI awarded the George Cross to Malta and its people in recognition of an entire nation's bravery. Prologue. On board an Adria steamship. The woman on the deck glanced up as a dozen bad-tempered seabirds yelled and hooted. "Fool! You fool! Fool!" they cackled, hurtling towards her. She ducked, raising a hand to ward them off, but it was the wind snatching at her hair, not the birds. She swallowed, tasted the tang of salt on her tongue with a hint of seaweed. Was she safe? It had been a leap of faith to board this ship in Syracuse, and the further she leapt, the further away safety seemed to be. She gazed at the shifting ocean. This was what she'd wanted, wasn't it? The sun began to set and the ship edged towards land. She gripped the railings, leaning over as far as she dared, mesmerized by something moving in the violet water. She closed her eyes, felt the breeze cooling her burning cheeks. The seabirds shrieked again. She raised her head, opened her eyes, and straightened up. How long had she been clutching the railings, listening to the voices in the sea? Because now, as the sun finally sank into the ocean, the sky was darkening to a deep, velvety indigo, with such a sweep of stars that it stole her breath. And right before her eyes, as the ship slid closer to the island, a glittering scene unfolded, as if a curtain really had been raised on a fairy world. Spellbound by the sight of the waters in the Grand Harbour, dancing with the reflected lights from hundreds of illuminated vessels, she hugged herself, then turned to her companion. "It's going to be all right," she whispered. "I'm going to be all right." Chapter 1. Florence. England, late August 1944. Jack cursed under his breath, wincing in pain as he attempted to force the window shut, and Florence coughed, her throat dry and sore. Completely jammed, the window resisted, and the acrid black smoke continued to billow in. "There's no point," she muttered. "Save your strength." "It'll disperse when we're out of this damned tunnel," he said. She nodded, leant back against the carriage wall, and slid to the floor where she rested her forehead on drawn-up knees and wrapped her arms around her shins. Anything to escape the smell. Not just engine smoke, but the sour odour of unwashed bodies too, and the cheap tobacco that hung in blue-grey clouds throughout the train and clung to their hair and clothes. Sitting in the corridor like this, crumpled and dirty and trying not to breathe, Florence felt exhausted and not quite able to relinquish.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?